Well, good day to everyone, and welcome to Session 7 on Being Found Diligent. This has actually gone a bit further because it just seems to get richer as we go. And so I'm looking forward to today's, but what we start today, we will finish in two more sessions. But let me just say up front, and I'll try to remember to do it at the end again, that we are not going to meet on the 29th of May. We're going out of town. We won't have time to record, get everything uploaded. I apologize for that. But we'll try to post something maybe else that'll be there that day that you can go back and benefit from something we've done in the past. But we'll pick back up on June the 5th. Today we're going to be talking about the diligence reward. So that's a GNT apostrophe S. And with that, now we're talking about the reward that is available to you and I. And this is going to take us three sessions to go through, and you don't want to miss any of this. So we'll skip the 29th of May and resume on the 5th of June with session 8. Let's pray as we get started this morning. Father, we do thank you that you're revealing your word to us. And today, as you show us the rewards that you have for us being diligent, walking diligently to seek you, knowing that we'll find you, knowing your faithfulness and your diligence toward us, just allow us to take a hold and grasp what is ours that we can begin to live and experience today as we diligently pursue you, your word, and your instructions to us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, we've been anchored in 2 Peter 3:14, which says, "Therefore, beloved," that's you, "looking forward to these things," talking about his soon return, "be diligent to be found by him in peace." So here we see that as the world goes crazy today, that we're supposed to be diligent in his thing so that we can be found how? In peace. And we also need to recognize the benefits of our righteousness, because it goes on to say without spot and blameless. So diligent implies in the original Greek language a steady, earnest, or an energetic effort. In other words, it looks like to me it's your whole being. It also means to value highly. And there are so many things that come up to try to take a valuable place in our lives. And so we just need to understand that it's a heart issue. It's not a characteristic. I mean, it's something that you can develop because it's in your heart, and it pursues, as you pursue it, it will come out. Now, we saw last week as we talked about the reward of diligence itself, that it is tied to our faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith it's possible to please him." But it goes on to say, "For he who comes to God must believe that he is." And a lot of people skip this in Hebrews 11:6. It says that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we get our definite instruction to seek him, and now we're seeing that he is a rewarder as we do. We saw that he's faithful. We looked at 1 Kings 8:56, seeing his diligence to make his word come true with his people. And this verse says, as a verse in Joshua also says, "Not one word has failed of all the wonderful promises he gave through Moses, his servant." Wow. The same is true with us. Every promise we have recorded in this word, every single promise, we can expect it to come to pass as we're diligent, just like it did for those in the old covenant. Now, I want to just be bold and say there is no way for you to be diligent in your assignment and not be rewarded. Now, no way meaning as long as you have faith that you will, because God is wanting to do it for you. And it's not just in the world to come, but it's here today. And we saw that in Mark 10, 29 and 30, where Jesus says in verse 30, talking about people that as they serve him and give up some things, that he shall receive 100 times as much now in this present age, in the church age where we are living, And it closes by saying, in the age to come, when we're living the eternal life, that God kind of life with him. So it starts with faith and it ends with faith. And that just tells me faith is not something that is optional for us. Proverbs 12:27 we looked at, which says, a slothful man does not roast his prey. And then it goes on to say, but the precious possession of a man is diligence. We looked at a couple of other verses on diligence, and we saw that Deuteronomy 6:17 says we should diligently keep his commandments. Psalms 19:11, and this was the contemporary English version, says, by your teachings, Lord, I am warned. And then here is the result of that. By obeying them, I am greatly rewarded. And that just fits right into today. 2 Chronicles 15:7 we saw said, you be strong and don't slack off. Why do we want to do that? Well, read the rest of that verse. For your work will be rewarded. We closed last week by looking at an example of diligence where Noah found favor with the Lord. And he was told that the Lord would build his covenant with him, and he shall enter the ark, him and his family, along with all those animals as he instructed. And how long did it take for him to build this ark, a boat of which had never been seen upon the face of the earth? 120 years. And as he was diligent to complete that, as he entered in, it said that the Lord himself shut him in that ark. And we also know he was faithful to establish the covenant as he told him he would do. And we benefit from that today, even with the sign of a rainbow in the sky. So the Lord was diligent to his word to Noah, and Noah acted on it. And as a result, he was protected by the very nature and presence of God and had the covenant that benefits man today concerning the Lord's promise that he won't destroy the earth by flood again, set in place, established in him. Now today we're going to make a shift. Last week, we talked about the reward of diligence, D-I-L-I-G-E-N-C-E, and I make a difference in that because today, as I mentioned earlier, is the diligence reward, D-I-L-I-G-N-T and apostrophe S. So, you could look at this title and you could say, it's my reward. You can put your name in there because what we're talking about today is applying to you and I here in this church age. Now, I wanted to give you one other example, an example of Ruth. And in the book of Ruth, you may remember we studied it extensively, that Naomi's husband and both of her sons had died. And so she told her two daughter-in-laws, you're free to go. And one actually went and left. But in verse 16 of Ruth, the first chapter, it reads this way. But Ruth said to her, to Naomi, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. Now notice these three things here. For wherever you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. And then here's the final two. And your people shall be my people, and your God shall be my God. So notice his progression. A couple of things about I'm committed, I'm going to be diligent to you. Then she says, I'm going to be diligent to your people. And now she wasn't Jewish now, so she is being taken in. And then it says, I'm going to be diligent to your God to serve him. So she diligently took each one of those as her own and stay where she had been placed. And can I tell you that sometimes diligence may not seem like the easiest route? Certainly it didn't for her. In the second chapter, now I show verses 1 through 17 on the notes, but that's something you can just read down through as you have time when the video's not running, because we're not going to do that today. Ruth did not just sit around and wait for something to happen and say, whatever. And she wasn't complacent to say, and I think I'm doing good enough. But in Ruth, you see the epitome of diligence. She went out. She began to glean in fields and take the leftovers. And she didn't just take them for herself. She took them back. And as she was diligent, listen to how favor came upon her. Boaz says to her, "You will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women." Now, what he had told the folks is leave a little extra for her to glean. Don't correct her. And told the people, his people who were picking for him, don't take it all, so leave some for her. And so her diligence was rewarded as this great favor, or we might say great grace, was shown to her. And in the last chapter of Ruth, chapter 4, it progressed to a point where Boaz took her as his wife, and the Jewish blessing of being a prosperous woman, being blessed in her womb, was spoken over her. In these five verses, she gave birth to Obed. Now, Obed was David's, became in the line of David. And what else came in the line of David? Let me say that differently. Who else came through the line of David? Jesus did. So by her diligence, she has the reward of being in the lineage that brought Jesus into this earth. Wow. What a reward that would be for a woman like her. But where did it start? With her believing what she'd heard about the God of Israel and being diligent to stay and serve Ruth, her people, and her God. So what I want to do today with that encouragement from the Old Testament, because if he'll do it then, how much more does he want to do it now based on what Jesus has done? So I want to look at several categories of rewards. But I'll just tell you, today we're only going to get to one, and it is the foundational one. And so we're going to spend a little extra time. And the Lord gave me this years ago, a title for this, not this session, but for this segment, this category we're going to talk about. And it's fulfillment and a satisfied life. So turn with me to Proverbs, the 13th chapter, and we're going to look at the fourth verse. Now, I'm going to give you five translations of this verse because I want to paint the picture as vividly as we can. From the New American Standard, it said, "The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the soul of the diligent is made fat." Now, I think we may have read this verse in one of our earlier sessions, but it's worth reading again. The word fat there probably doesn't have, for you and I, the best connotation. The word actually means to be made fat, but it's also translated anointed. So the soul of the diligent is anointed. And we know this, the anointing of the Holy Spirit that comes upon us, and we know that's the anointing that breaks the yoke that has held us captive for so long. Now, let me read you the complete Jewish Bible. And I'm just going to really focus on the last part of each verse. It says, "The diligent get all their desires filled." That is a whopping phrase. Doesn't say most of them. It doesn't say some of them. It says all of them. Now, what do we know? For these rewards to come to pass, we have to believe and receive it. The second thing it says, is the Webster translation, and it says, "The desire of the diligent shall be fully satisfied." Now, I really like that one. Full satisfaction in our lives. The English Standard Version says, "The soul of the diligent is richly supplied." So we have everything that we need. And then finally, it goes on, and the last one I picked was the Jewish publication. And it says, "The soul of the diligent shall be abundantly gratified." To me, when I read gratified, it means we've got everything we need, but it also has this connotation of being thankful to it as I read this. Now, do you see these five translations sounding like what you would envision in a prosperous soul? Well, let's remember 3 John 2, and this is New King James. "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things." There's that word again, just like we saw get their desires filled, all their desires. He goes on to say, and be in health. So it's not all desires in one area, it's multiple areas now, just as your soul prospers. And so we're seeing that a prosperous soul and a diligent soul, how can I say it? It's almost like they're the same thing. You understand what I'm talking about. That's why I said to you, if you'll be diligent, the result, the rewards of your results will be produced. Let me read you the English Standard for 3 John 2. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. So I just want to say, part of being diligent, if I read this, if it's going well with my soul, I'm at peace. I have the peace that Jesus gave me, his peace, not as the world gives, but an everlasting peace, a peace that's not based on what happens, but based on what he did. And that causes my soul to prosper. So I want you to see here, it encompasses many, many aspects of our life. And we know our God is a rewarder. And he's a rewarder of those who diligently pursue and seek him. And it's not just him now. It's as his ways. Because if we truly love him, we will do what he says to do. Now, Proverbs 12:27, and we've looked at this one previously. It says, a slothful man, and previously being just a few minutes ago, not in early sessions, does not roast his prey, but the precious possession of a man is diligence. Now, I want to read you two other translations of that, because it comes up to make it real as to why diligence is a precious possession. The Amplified says, the diligent man gets precious possessions. He gets things that he highly values. So when we highly value being diligent, the things we highly value will be added to us. Now, the Revised Standard Version, which I'm thinking about this, is what I really read as a child growing up in the Methodist Church. It says that the diligent gets precious wealth. And I do not want you just to think about finances. Yes, we're to prosper in all areas, including our finances. But this is talking about much, much more. And I believe the rewards we have of being diligent, the pinnacle of it is seeing part of this prized possession we get, souls coming into the kingdom of God. In other words, being an evangelist by being diligent in our ways, not by what we say sometimes, but just how we conduct ourselves and what we do. Let me give you an example. In Luke, the 15th chapter, and you are well aware of these verses, and I'm going to read it from the King James Version, the old King James Version. It's talking about what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she loses one piece, does she not light a candle, sweep the house, and here's the phrase, and seek diligently till she finds it? Why? Because it was valuable to her. She saw a value in it. And those things, when he talks about sweep the house, to me that sounds like an earnest looking, which is part of that word diligently. And she does that until what? She diligently finds it. Verse 9. And when she has found it, she calls her friends and her neighbors, saying, rejoice with me. So when she finds it, her joy rises up. Now, there's a real lesson for us here. You and I may be looking for something, and we haven't found it as of yet. But if somebody else has something that they've lost and they found, or a loved one comes back in, which may be something we're looking for and that somebody else experiences, then what should we do with this person as these people did with this woman? They rejoiced with her. Why? For I have found the peace which I had lost. And then we see the relation to what we're talking about, being diligent so that souls will be produced through our work. Likewise, Jesus says, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of God, presence of the angels of God, over one sinner that repents. So if the angels are doing it, and we've been given the example that on the earth, this woman called others, we see that we ought to be rejoicing as people come into salvation. Now, as I'm saying this, I hear the Lord saying, and we ought to be motivated to pray for that as well. And that's part of our common prayer. And really, that's what Paul's epistle to Timothy talks about in how you pray for all men. So what I want you to see here is this lady did not sit around and just fret or feel ashamed because she lost something. She was diligent to go find it. Now, again, I want to stress this verse 10 has a note to a connection between diligence and souls. And I don't want you to underestimate that, because this can also be true about how your diligence impacts believers. The example I would use for that, and I could have used Joseph as an example of great diligence, committed to the word of the Lord, where he saw in the vision that he had, the one that aggravated his brothers. But in every respect, when he was sold into slavery to Potiphar, when he went to jail, by being diligent there, what did he end up? Being number two in the kingdom of Egypt. But that's not the critical part of it. That's not the end. The intent of why he, or the result of why he was put in that position from being diligent, was that so God could protect his people. So sometimes our diligence has a reward well beyond yourself or maybe your immediate family. It can impact others that you never, ever thought that you would. I'm sure Joseph had no idea of the far-reaching impact of that. Now I want us to go to Isaiah 55, and we're going to read the first three verses. If you don't have a King James, just listen to it as I read King James, as you read along with your version. Ho, in other words, stop and pay attention. Everyone that thirsts, come ye to the waters. Can I just say, don't be complacent. I got a little bit of water. He says, come to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. So we're coming to waters when we don't have any. If we don't have the finances, we're still to come, because it's not about what we can do. And so we can actually buy and eat by being diligent to do the word. And it says, yes, come by wine and milk, spirit and the word, I might say, without money and without price. Now, does that sound like grace? Nothing that we've earned, but freely given? Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? And you labor, your labor, for that which satisfies not. So he's talking about, don't pursue just the earthly things. Don't be diligent in just earthly things, which we should, because we do everything is unto God. But look what he says. Hearken diligently to me. Set your ear to hear. Be like that dog. My Millie Jean, when I call her and start talking, she'll occasionally turn that head. And what's she doing? Inclining her ear, as Proverbs tells us. She's hearkening to my words. And then the word of the Lord here in verse 2 is, eat ye that which is good. Let your soul delight itself in, here's that word again, fatness, in the anointing. Oh, let your soul delight in the anointing. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant. This is written to Israel, but it's about us, with you, even the sure mercies of God. Now, the previous verses we read about being fully satisfied, and Isaiah 55, 1 through 3 here, sounds to me a lot like the last three verses of Psalm 91, which, you know, these verses in New American Standard, which this verse is, because that's the one that I learned to really quote Psalm 91 in. And here you go through sometime if you want to stop the video and pick it back up, or if you want to wait till the end, but come back to this. And everywhere you see he or she, he in there, you can put your name in there. Because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. Now, what are we told to do? Pursue him, love him, how? With a whole heart, diligently. I will set him securely on high because he has known my name. So he's pursued and he's found. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and I will honor him. And with a long life will I satisfy him and let him behold my salvation. Now again, put your name in there. Because Minton has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set Minton securely on high because he's known my name. Make it personal. Begin to see yourself holding on to the rewards that are promised for you, holding on to them in faith until they manifest to your physical eyes. But how does this end? With a long, satisfied life. Now, I've seen people live a long life, and the more long that they live, the more miserable that life got. That's not what this verse says. I'm believing for my mama that she's going to live. She already has lived a long, satisfied life. But if there comes a time when she's not content, when she's not satisfied, then I'm willing to let her go because that's a long, satisfied life that's our promise, not just a long, drawn-out life. Big, big difference. How about if I say this? A long, satisfied life, living fully in the anointing, partaking of his salvation. And let's go back to what we saw last week. When does it come upon us? Now and in eternity in heaven. John 10:10 just reinforces this. Jesus says the thief doesn't come but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come, and I'm going to say that you, I'm not going to say they, that you may have life, may have Zoe, the God kind of life, and that you may have it in more abundance. Now, abundance means there's an overflow of it. Does that ring a bell like fully satisfied? Man, listen to the Good News Bible. Three translations here of the last part of this verse. I've come in order that you might have life, life in all its fullness. The New Living says, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Sounds like Psalm 91. The Message says, I came so they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. Oh, wow. Above, beyond all we ask or think. Deuteronomy chapter 7, the 14th verse, is a verse that I used back when we had retired and really it was almost a depression. But when financial things went down quickly right after I retired and I saw things that I once had appeared to go away, I stood at my window and proclaimed this verse to the whole subdivision. And what it says was, you shall be blessed above all peoples. That's a reward of being diligent. And that's what I would say. Minton, you're blessed above all peoples. I'd continue it and said, there shall be nothing that I have that is barren amongst my holdings. Now, their holdings were mostly livestock. So that's why it was improved. It was important. But what is, if you're barren, means you're not producing that which you're supposed to yield. So I actually was speaking this to finances, and we did see it come back. So what I'm telling you here, this is in every way we are to be blessed as believers who are walking diligently, the righteous ones, above all other peoples. It's not saying that Patricia is to be more blessed than I am, or BJ is to be more blessed than Tricia is. But it is saying people who are in the kingdom, who are walking diligently, it should be noticeable how they are blessed. Thus, that's one way we become a witness to Jesus. I don't want you to quit here at verse 14 because I said it's in every way. Look at 15. And the Lord will take away from you all sickness and will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases which you have known, but will lay them on all those who hate you. So just take this as in every way we're blessed. That to me sounds like what he said, similar to what he said when he told the children of Israel as they left Egypt that he was Jehovah Rapha. So can you begin to see why in this study we looked carefully at Proverbs 4:23? Let's look at it again. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. So let me just say what I've said 24 times or more. It's a heart issue. But let's add to it Proverbs 8:17. And I'm going to read the Amplified here. I love those who love me, and those who seek me early and diligently shall find me. Now, don't stop at that one, even though that's a great promise. Read with me 18 and 19. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even pure gold, and my yield the choicest silver. So every area of our lives, we should expect to be blessed above all people as we walk diligently according to His Word. Let's close built around something with Psalm 119, the fourth verse. It says, Thou hast ordained thy precepts that we should keep them diligently. So we're not talking about just living willy-nilly, just doing whatever we want to. We are talking about pursuing God and living a life that is according to His Word, according to His precepts. Verse 5 and 6 says, Oh, that my ways may be established. That's part of being diligent, is to become established, to keep thy statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed when I look upon your commandments. Now, why would he say that? Because he knows that everything that the Lord said, all those good promises, came to pass. Not one of them ever failed. And isn't that what we see in 2 Timothy 2:15? Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. And we also see it in a second witness in Romans 10:11, where the scripture is quoting Old Testament, and it says, No man who believes in him, who adheres to, who relies on, and who trusts in him will ever be put to shame or disappointed. You know, I had the opportunity to participate and honor a person who had gone on to be with the Lord this week from an illness. And I said to the folks who were there, and really, the gospel was really preached in this service. But I said to the people who were there, we don't ever lose. Even when it looks like we might be losing, we win because of what Jesus did. He won. It's not about me being perfect in every way, as we've said before, but it's because of what Jesus did that I can walk in His Word with faith in it, diligently pursuing Him, and everything that may look like a failure to the world is a victory to you and I. And let that encourage you this week as you ponder these things. Go back over these scriptures and just let them become a part of your heart. Let them rise up and be alive. I'm facing some things. I have some friends that this previous day, I found out a couple of folks are just fighting some very tough things, people I care dearly about. But what can I say to them? That pursue God. You be diligent to go after Him, to hear what He says and do it and act upon it. And these rewards will come upon you. A long, satisfied life. Now, don't forget that on the 29th, we're not going to meet, the 29th of this month, but we'll pick back up with two more sessions on the 5th of June. And again, they're just going to build on this. It just gets better and better. Life and life more abundantly. We love you. Bless you. Have a great 2 weeks.